The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
It's a Netball Show with Flyhawk. We are delighted to speak to Lindsay Chapman. England Netball have launched an official podcast, Courtside, really just taking us inside the team for, it's going to be a massive summer of sport, really, isn't it? Including at Com Games.
Oh, it's going to be a huge summer of sport. Yes, I'm so excited for it, Andy. I bet you are as well.
The good thing is we've been doing the podcast since 2017, but it's nice to see that extra access you'll bring. We've noticed that in the first couple of episodes already.
Oh, that's cool. Yes, obviously what we're trying to do is something a little bit different in terms of access to the Roses players in the run-up to one of the major highlights of the netballing calendar. So really, Netball World Cup and Commonwealth Games, they're the two big ones, aren't they? And we really wanted to sort of show the people behind the players and that journey into an elite world-class level competition. And also to take some of these players back, so to go courtside, hence the name, with them, and experience their netball journey, which I found absolutely fascinating because I've played netball since I was sort of 5 years old. But the different routes in that people have had and the experiences that they've had, the ups and the downs, that's what we're really trying to get to. And also highlighting some of those key moments in different players' careers and what that means to them. And just really showcasing the sport ahead of the Commonwealth Games, because for the first time in history, we are defending a gold medal.
Hey. You know,
that has never happened before. That unique moment on the Gold Coast 4 years ago where we won in the dying seconds, really after the match had finished, you know, with that penalty call. And it's a unique position to be in. We really want to celebrate that. And we want to look beyond the Roses as well. So looking all the way through England netball and what people are doing with their local clubs and how you can watch the Commonwealth Games this summer as well. And really how netball can make its mark following on from that brilliant gold.
How does it feel to be back in an echoey school gym? We can see netball posts at either end. There are basketball hoops around the place as well. It's got quite an echo on it, this particular room. Does it bring up any emotions?
Yeah, it does actually. It's more the floor. Like the surface hasn't changed very much because we had this kind of like rubber kind of blue floor. I remember that quite vividly. And often when we came in for like extra netball practice, or I'd come in at lunchtime just to do some shooting, that echoey feeling is actually quite reassuring because it kind of reminds me of back in the day, like the 13, 14 year old self that was starting out on my journey really in terms of wanting to play for England at age group level. So as I say, it's really lovely to be doing this somewhere that has and holds so many memories for me.
What age did you actually start playing netball then? How old were you?
It was at junior school or primary school, and I think it was, you have years 3, 4, 5 and 6. And I remember at that particular time, only the year 5s and 6s were allowed to start playing school netball. And I was in year 4, and I'm not one for rules, if I'm honest. So I was a little bit aggrieved that I had to wait until upper school to have a go. And that's really where one of the most important early figures, a teacher called Miss Brackpool at the time. She was quite young and most probably new to teaching, and I adored her. I was a bit of a teacher's pet, I think. And she kind of led the netball. And I don't know how we arrived at being afforded the chance to go and have a go in the after school club. But I remember scoring 2 goals, the only 2 goals of the netball practice. So 2-0 to our team. And I remember that she wanted to name me in the school team, but that meant knocking out somebody in the years above, which I don't think went down very well. And I do remember her name, so it was Amanda Royal, so I do apologise.
Those things stick with you, Amanda
Royals.
I know,
they do stick with me, because I think, God, what would I have felt like if I was Amanda? Like, I wasn't thinking that at the time, and I was most probably still in a little bit of shock, but I just remember that practice session so clearly on, like, an old gravel playground, scoring 2 goals. Like, everybody around me thinking it was, like, incredible that you could get it through the net. And I was thinking, well, that's the whole point of the game, isn't it?
Episode 1, I guess, going back to her school, what was that like for you? Did you get a bit mush?
Oh, she totally did. It was wonderful for me. It was really good. because actually a lot of her school had changed. So she kept looking at different parts and sort of saying, well, that used to be there and that used to be there. But as soon as you go into one of those sports halls, you know, it's the same for me. If I went back to my old secondary or primary school, as soon as you go back into that sort of space, it all comes back to you, doesn't it? And those moments that you had when you were growing up, some of them were brilliant if you had great wins. And you also remember, you know, I remember playing in a thunderstorm once just outside Hull on my old outdoor court. And I was thinking, is this okay? We're still going in this thunderstorm. But it was absolutely brilliant. And I think what that brought out was a really different side to Jess. So obviously we see her England side and the messages that she really wants to get across and the way that she looks after that team. But it was really wonderful to get inside Jess's memory and to see all the different experiences that she'd had, just how hard she'd worked, which she was really honest about as well. And she's really funny. She cracked me up all the way through it. And her determination as well, you know, and what she wants to bring to that player group, which is what we're going to see play out at the Commonwealth Games.
It's fast, it's physical, and every element of playing in Australia is so professional. It's my full-time job and my career over here. Our training environment is essentially a 5-day-a-week program. We come in the morning, we train, you know, in the middle of the day, like we don't have other jobs. And that kind of spills onto the court in the product that is on display most weekends, which is, you know, really fast and physical and highly skilled netball.
And what do you think that does for the international game when you come back into the Roses setup? What do you bring with you?
I guess I bring a load of experience back into the Roses setup. You know, one of the reasons I moved to New Zealand in the first place was so I could play against, you know, the Silver Ferns defenders and kind of lose that fear factor of playing against them internationally. And part of the reason the Roses have been so successful over the last 5 years, I think, is, you know, some of us have had that exposure, coupled with the fact that the England Roses have a really good program based in Loughborough and also the Super League's on the up. So there's all these little factors that contribute to, you know, the England Roses being as successful as they have been.
Episode 2 as well, Joe Harton was part of that. What was that like for you, just to get a bit of that insight into playing at SSN level?
It was just wonderful because, you know, if you're watching the SSN, arguably the best league in the world, and just what Joe Harton is doing there in terms of leadership. It was so interesting to get inside her mind on that level, but also we showed her some pictures of when she first started playing netball. It was brilliant because she couldn't actually find herself in the really early one. She was like, I'm not in this picture. I said, you are, Joe, you definitely are. And then she sort of went, gosh, I do recognize all those faces. And she knew really early on that she wanted to play for England, and she has just absolutely gone for that. And that determination and grit that she had, the research that she used to do, was really interesting. But what really stood out for me was that she can remember different netballs that she played different tournaments with. So I showed her some photographs and she said, oh yeah, I remember that ball from 10 years ago. I remember how that felt to play with and the pressure of it. And I, you know, you sort of don't think about those things with these elite players, but everything is in there and it's wonderful to draw it out.
Obviously, the Com Games squad has been announced and you spoke to Nat as well. How was media day in general?
It was really fun. I think because we'd waited a long time for that announcement. You know, other countries had announced before England. We were waiting and then suddenly those names were out there. I think there's just real joy now within that team, which I think is a really important word actually going into the Commonwealth Games, because we could look at it in a really pressured way and sort of think, gosh, we've never been in this situation before and we've got to bring that gold home again. We've got to go back to back. And actually, the feeling was just real excitement, real joy, and expectation, looking forward to the training camp. They're now out in South Africa, the England Roses. So to sort of see those girls together when they've been playing on different Super League sides as well was really good fun. And yeah, I got access to Nat, and she's so generous with her insight. I always love talking to her. And I think, you know, in terms of captaincy and the way that the other players talk about her and how easy she is to go and approach with different things. You know, it's going to be wonderful to see her development through the Commonwealth Games as well.
I think it's a credit to the Roses programme and what Jess has done over the last couple of years. The strength and depth within the Roses programme. You talk about it weekly in the Super League games, just the amount of versatility within the league. And I think it's just so exciting. And the competition for places is brilliant. It's what we want at the Roses. And to be a part of the Roses family is so special. So, yeah, I think it's been really, really hard for the selectors to make a decision on that final 12.
And look, be honest with me, when you finished on that Zoom, when you hung up, what did you do?
I actually text Jess saying, don't know what I just said on that Zoom call. Don't know what came out of my mouth, but honestly, like, thank you. And then I think I just ran up and down the stairs a few times, just so excited. You know, I just didn't know what to do with myself. It means the world to represent England at any occasion and to be asked to go to the Commonwealth Games and put on the red dress at home Commonwealth Games. It's just the pinnacle of the sport, and I'm just so honoured and grateful.
Only fair we talk about our love for the game in other podcasts, obviously. I've got the Storm podcast, you've got the Thundercast, and a bit of a scam claiming that you were the first, even though we were. How have you found
Thunder? You came back
Thunder
to me on Twitter
season?
Straight away. I like
I know.
That, Andy.
Within 30 seconds, I was on that.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
How have you seen Thunder this season?
Yeah, I mean, Thunder have been, well, they're unbeaten, aren't they? They were unstoppable, and I think that build really came from week one. So I commentated for Sky Sports in that big opening weekend, and we looked at all the squads, and Thunder, I think, have just built week in, week out. You know, they made some really good signings, but we always talk about their pathway, don't we? And I think that what they were able to do was really expose those players throughout the season. So even at big moments, Karen Gregg had the guts to put on younger players and to move the team around. And maybe that's what was missing last season, because we sort of thought last season, wow, Thunder look incredible. But when it came to the depth of the squad, it wasn't quite there. Whereas I think this season it really has been. And so they've been able to mix things up, really do the homework on other teams as well, and make sure that every game that they approached, they've got a game plan, they knew what they wanted to do, and they got options on the bench. And I think that's what made a difference. And again, that feeling within the team as well, I think it really gelled for them this year. They're enjoying being off the court as well as on the court. And then, you know, you've got you've got an international lineup essentially, haven't you, in the starting seven, yeah. When you look at the Roses and South Africa and Northern Ireland. So just strength to strength. But I've got to throw it back to you and say, Surrey Storm as well, you know, that fantastic signing of Peace Prascovia, they look completely different to last season, didn't they? And that's not necessarily due to personnel. It's also a build. How did you feel?
I didn't think it was too bad at all. I mean, obviously, there was that season before where it was the lowest they've ever finished in the league, but Mickey in her mind is obviously just working towards that bigger picture, and we can expect to see a lot more next season out of everybody, I think.
Oh, I just think this is the best season the Super League's ever had. You know, the coverage because of COVID and the way that things changed and getting more, well, all the games onto Sky Sports YouTube was just fantastic. And I think the fact that we've been able to retain that, and at the beginning of the season, people were saying, oh, there isn't as much as last season. The important thing is that there was a build from the season before, you know, so we'd got the broadcast games, but we kept the YouTube games as well. And just in terms, Andy, of linking the season together and understanding netball, it's so important that we do have that consistency. And I think that build was really important this year. And we saw sides come through. Look at London Pulse, you know, look at the way that it's taken them just a little bit of time to bed in, yeah, and get those players sorted. And then they made history, finishing the highest that they've ever finished. And we need the characters, which we've now got. In the Super League, we need the player stories, which we've got as well, and we need those close games. We want it to look like the Australian League. You want it to be a goal here and there. You want upsets, and we had that this season. And if we can push forward and keep going, I know we can only sign for 1 year next year in terms of all the Super League franchises, which is quite an interesting one, but we have to keep pushing in that way.
Leanne and the rest of the Sky team definitely done a great job. Have you seen the news that Gia's retiring from elite netball? What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, she is one of my favourite players to watch. And the reason for that is because I love her style and I love her leadership on court, and I really enjoy the way that Sirens play. So I enjoy that sort of short, sharp passing and the workload that they put in.
Yeah.
It's a joy to watch, and you sort of go, that is a whole team, that is a whole unit working together to make that happen. Didn't necessarily finish where they wanted to finish this season. The season before, they were everyone's second team, weren't they? Because you sort of went
two, right? Yeah, fourth, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. Look at what Sirens are bringing to the court. And I think Gia has a lot to do with that. So it's always a shame, isn't it, when you sort of, you lose players and names that you really love and that you really, I play centre, so I'm really inspired by that. And that's a difficult thing to do, but I'm sure that her influence within that club will carry on, you know, and it doesn't just stop there. But all credit to Sirens and what they're doing and the way that they market that team as well. They've got their tribe, haven't they, in terms of their fans. And again, I think that family and bringing people in and saying this is a sport that's really inclusive and we have a bit of a party at the game as well, that's Wiccan, and Gia's a big part of that.
Yeah, dead easy to buy into. Finally, obviously courtside, you'll have future guests plans. You're going to drop a few names?
I don't think England would netball would thank me if I did, because we have to do it on the launch day every time that we're doing it. But we're delighted to have such a great chat with Nat as soon as she was called out as captain. That was absolutely brilliant. Getting Jess on the first one and then the insight that she brought was great. And then the big name of Joe Harton. But I promise you, there are more big names coming as we head towards the Commonwealth Games and also beyond the Games as well. You know, it's not just about getting to this summer, getting to that gold medal. It's about, right, well, what's the next step for netball? Then we've got the World Cup in 2023 for the Roses, but also the community of volunteers, umpires, the way that we talk about netball, that's what we want to bring to it. So, you know, we'll aim for after the Commonwealth Games as well. But do give it a listen. And it's so wonderful to your pod talking about our pod. It's very generous. But I honestly think that the more that we get this sport out there, I mean, you love it, I love it. It's entertaining, it's high energy, it's the ultimate team sport, and it's female led. You know, when you think about netball, you think about women first, and that's not necessarily the same for other sports that are being pushed in terms of women's sport at the moment. So I am always the flag bearer there, you know, and I sort of shout, we should be talking about this as a female led sport. It's absolutely wonderful. And in my opinion, it's the best spectator sport to watch as well. It's not a 0-0 draw, is it?
No, definitely not. We already subscribe. Maybe new people just heard this. So how can we subscribe to Courtside? Usual places?
Yes. Of course, yeah, there's lots of different places. So wherever you get your podcast, whether that's Spotify or iTunes or Audioboom, we are on there. So search out Courtside. It's the official England netball podcast. And if you follow it, then the episodes will ping up for you as and when they come out. And you won't miss a moment.
Lindsay, thank you very much. And no chance of the next guest? No?
There isn't at the moment, but it's not very far away.
The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.